Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, TSA issues a final rule for real ID enforcement. And is it true American cruise ships continue to stop at foreign ports despite warnings from U.S. officials that they are unsafe? Those stories next in the travel news.
Mark already mentioned real ID. And now that the TSA has said no more delays, our Smarter Traveler segment at 1120 tells you how to make sure that you can still travel after the rules change in May.
Want to get up close and personal with the whales in Baja? Sports Leisure Vacations has a trip leaving next month, and one seat is available. Details at 11:33.
Looking for something to liven up the cold winter days? Well, come to Sonoma for 100 days of wellness. Learn more at 11:35.
In our odds and ends, Rift at 11:40, we tell you the most popular overseas destinations for Americans this year.
And at 11:50, learn more about how the tourism community gives back as we introduce you to Tourism Cares.
Thanks for the pleasure of your time and your company. Whether you're listening live or on the podcast, welcome to the Travel Guys.
On the road again.
Welcome, everyone. It's another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. Thanks for coming along. Remember now, links to our special guests and lots of good stuff to make you a smarter traveler, including that information on the Real ID and much more at TravelGuysRadio.com. Good to see you, Mark.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I'm off to Key West here soon, the annual taking of the folks to the Florida Keys, and I can't wait. One of my favorite trips of the year.
Man, you have a pretty good list here. We've been keeping track of you. You're going to be doing Key West, and then not too long from now, you're off to Hawaii again.
That's it. And then Palm Springs, and then spring training baseball, and Kentucky. And, yeah, it's going to be a busy first part of the year for me. Hey, listen, before we get into the program today, I just wanted to mention, I never met this man. I'm sure we would have been buddies if I had. Bob Uecker passed away last week. And if you're wondering, if you're out there saying, who the heck is Bob Uecker? If you're an old baseball fan, you know immediately who Bob Uecker is. He was the play-by-play guy for the Milwaukee Brewers for 54 years. Think about that. 54 years of doing baseball games on the radio and television. He was also a backup catcher. That's how his career got started in the 60s, played for five or six teams, among them the St. Louis Cardinals, a team that I'm close to. He was a backup catcher on the 1964 Cardinals. And Bob was just a crazy guy. He's known for being in the film Major League. He had a line in there that just a little bit outside, a line that's gone on forever. He was on the Johnny Carson show over 100 times. He died at the age of 90, 91 the other day. Anyway, a baseball legend, a funny guy who was on television, was prominent at ballparks. There is a statue commemorating him at the ballpark in Milwaukee. He will definitely be missed. He was a man who looked at life in a way that, you know, made me jealous from time to time, because I didn't always see it quite as funny as he did. But what an incredible entertainer, baseball broadcaster. Like I said, old backup catcher for in the 1960s, who hung around the game for a long time and lamented at one point about how he would never, as a backup catcher, be in the Hall of Fame. But he was a broadcaster and such a prominent part of baseball for so long. Indeed, in the early 2000s, he did get a special award which allowed him to be in the Hall of Fame. So if you ever go to Cooperstown, you will see a little about Bob Uecker there, who was one of baseball's great characters.
Rest in peace. All right, we are the Travel Guys, and at the top of every program, we bring you up to date on the travel news. And with it, once again, here's Mark Hoffman.
And we're going to talk a lot about this over the next 4 months, is my guess, because I'm going to do my very best to keep you folks from procrastinating on this till the very last minute and being in the long line of people that we will see on television. We're talking about Real ID. They're upgrading you're no longer going to be able to use your driver's license as of the 7th of May. Well, you will, because your driver's license can be a real ID. But many people, including me, are walking around with a driver's license that isn't a real ID. The difference is that a real ID requires a little bit more background checking and stuff like that. It's a little bit more secure way. The purpose of this is to upgrade the level of security for people who are getting on airplanes and getting into some government facilities, which you will need this ID for also. So you can sit around and piss and moan about it and talk about the government being too big and all that stuff. But the reality is, after 15 years or so, this is going to come into play later this year on the 7th of May. You have to go to a DMV office. So guess what's going to happen in April and the first few days in May? Those DMV offices are going to be overwhelmed. The appointments are going to be impossible to get. Psst, why not do it now?
Do it now.
And why not do it now and just beat the crowd? Now, let me tell you, if you have a valid passport, you don't need a real ID to travel. But you will need the passport. Just because you have one, you'll have to have it at the airport with you when you travel. So that can substitute. Or you can go through the process. It can be done online. Then you have to appear at a DMV office to finalize it. And then you'll have a real ID. You need this. This has nothing to do with international travel. This is domestic travel. Getting on an airplane and flying from Sacramento to Timbuktu. And you're going to need this ID to get through TSA. You've got until May the 7th, which is plenty of time. So don't be one of the people who waits until April the 27th and says, oh my God, I've got to have this, and join the crush of people who are trying to get it at the last minute. So my suggestion to you is, it's real easy. I've got a link at travelguysradio.com. If you like, that will take you there. Or just get out your computer, go to the search bar, and type real ID in the top, and it will take you there and give you all kinds of instructions. There are several different places you can go to get it, but they're all government agencies. But you're going to need one to travel after May the 7th, and expect me to probably nag you about this once or twice more in between now and then. In fact, in our Smarter Traveler segment in a few minutes, we're going to talk about it again. If you are one of those folks, Clayton Whitehead of Sports Leisure Vacations, who loves to go to airline clubs when you're in an airport, Clayton's the only guy I know who has a one-hour layover, has a 15-minute walk to the gate. The plane starts loading 15 minutes or 30 minutes before it leaves. He has to pee, and he still goes to the airline club. So anyway, for those of you who would like the clubs, some of you pay a little bit for it. Some of you get it as part of your credit card benefits. Some of you get it because you're an international. You've got an international upgraded ticket, and that allows you to get into the club. If you're a club person, you know that those clubs have become increasingly crowded over recent years. There are more of them than there used to be, but despite that, they're increasingly crowded. Delta is going to start enforcing some strict limits coming up, and what they're going to do is credit card people. If you've got the Delta, one of the American Express cards is going to limit you to 15 visits a year. And another one is going to limit you to 10 visits a year. So that's how they're going to cap this and try to kill some of these horrendous lines at some of the clubs for all of the airlines, Delta, American, and United. So if you're somebody who really craves the clubs, know they're trying to do some things to cut down on the wait in line in order to be able to get one.
And they call it a club?
And they call it a club.
And they're not clubs. They're not. They're just a room. They're just a place.
You get to pay. I don't get it. I truly, honest to God, I fly a lot. You would think if somebody was susceptible to running into something like that, it would be me. But I don't get it. You know, you rarely have time in an airport to do anything more than, like I said, use the facilities, maybe, you know, grab something to eat off of a carton and run to the next gate anyway.
Have you ever been to the one here in Sac?
I have. I don't belong, but I have been in it. We interviewed the gentleman from the club.
We did when it was first starting up. Yep.
First started. Maybe we will do that again. There's one in each terminal. They are American Express oriented club, so you can check them out in Sacramento. All right, here's what I thought is a really interesting story. Carnival Cruise Line still stops at ports despite U.S. warnings. This is the headline. Apparently, Carnival is not the only ship that stops in ports with serious safety warnings. Now, what Carnival says is the reason that they do this is because they control the amount of, you know, you'll stop in a port and they've got a fenced off area that you can't leave. And it may be, you know, several hundred yards wide, and there'll be vendors in there probably selling local crafts and stuff like that. There perhaps will not be any shore excursions at that particular place, but that's how they're still technically stopping there. I really call this into question. I call BS. I mean, if it's not safe and the government has said, look, it's not safe for U.S. citizens to travel to, then and we're up on one of these level 3 or level 4 warnings, then what the heck are you doing there? I mean, is it? Are you trying to just fulfill what you put in your catalog, or and where there were no other options? I mean, I get it. You've got not a whole lot of warning, and you've got a ships out in the ocean, and now you've got to change the itinerary, and you can't just pull up in a parking place with 1,500 people and say, "Hey, we're here for the day. Aren't you glad to see us?" It doesn't work that way. But it just seems to me like there would be a better plan B. My suggestion to make you a smarter traveler is before you go on a cruise, check out the ports of call and see, go online and see if there are any major warnings for them. If there are, then you will be on alert and you will know that, hey, maybe that's not a place I want to take a shore excursion, or maybe that's a place that I want to stay closer. You find more than one of these places on your itinerary, I'm going to suggest to you that you picked the wrong itinerary and maybe the wrong cruise line to travel with. I mean, just the other day, here comes another Caribbean cruise ship, cruise port under serious travel warning. They're talking about Jamaica here. And I don't have time to go into all of it, but if you are traveling on a cruise ship, particularly to foreign ports, you might want to just do your own homework, because it appears as though the cruise lines are not paying a tremendous amount of attention to the government. Here's an interesting question our Travelers United friends asked: you lock your checked luggage when you're flying? 41%, Tom, said they have a TSA-approved lock. So okay. That means they lock their bag.
Yeah, you got to have one of those. Otherwise, they'll break it open.
13% say no, they don't lock it, but they secure it with a belt or by other means so that it's not likely to pop open in transit. 46% say they don't lock their luggage at all. Do you lock your luggage?
I do not.
You do not.
And I do not tie a belt around it. All of my luggage zips close. Sometimes I might put one of those little twisty thingies between the two zippers so that it won't randomly come open. But that's it.
Yep.
How about you?
I travel a lot, and I've never had anything stolen out of a suitcase. Of course, I try not to put things in a suitcase that people would be interested in stealing. So
sometimes it's a good way. Sometimes a good way to get rid of stuff. Hope that they break in and steal this crap I don't need at home. You know, sometimes.
All right. One last quick story here. We told you that DOT was fining Spirit Airlines and Frontier Airlines. They have also gone after Southwest. This is for chronically delayed flights. If an airline has a flight that for months and months and months doesn't arrive on time most of the time, chronically late, causes people to miss connections, why would you do that as a business? So some would say government overreach. I would say no.
No.
Why would they do it in the first place? So anyways, Southwest is being dinged by the government, and Southwest has decided to fight back. And they are suing the government over the fines that they are being subjected to for a couple of flights. One of them was between Chicago Midway and Oakland, which was chronically late over time. Anyways, it's nice to see, at least for right now, some people are holding the airlines accountable. We'll see in a few weeks if that trend continues. And that's your travel news for today.
And with the travel guys, Mark and Tom, want to remind you, Rudy's Hideaway has a super duper Monday night special going on. Rudy's is over there at Hazel and Highway 50. Ran into this last week when I went in. I didn't even know it was going on. It's $65 for a dinner for two. It's got Mark's favorite clam chowder.
Yum.
Yeah, there you go. Or a house salad, whichever you choose. And I've been going for the clam chowder.
Wait. I want to throw in just an opinion here.
Yeah.
Why would you take a pile of weeds over Rudy's clam chowder?
Yeah, you got a good point. You can make the salad at home. Even though I can tell you this, their dressings, which they make there, are some of the best. And that's one of the reasons for the salad. You get your baked potato, your fresh vegetable, your warm sourdough bread. You get a choice, Mark, if you're out on a date with somebody. And you can either choose the 6-ounce lobster tail, the slow-roasted prime rib, the chicken marsala, the fried prawns, or the filet mignon bourguignon. Any one of those. Mix and match for you and your guest. And if you want to have a little bottle of wine, they got their $27 house wine marked down to $18. Great dinner for $65. And don't forget now, if you're going to have a crab feed and you need crab, count on Rudy's Hideaway to supply you. Rudy's Hideaway, right off of Highway 50 and Hazel. Here to make you a smarter traveler next time you hit the road, it's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations.
That is the weirdest background music in history.
Yeah, it's called Hands Up Party.
Hands up.
Come on, you got to get your hands up there. Okay. remind me to can that one permanently.
No, that's okay. I just my comment was that little thing in the middle there was kind of strange.
All right, real ID time. You know, I got mine back, 2006, 7, something like that. Not too long after they introduced it. I began to panic because I was flying a lot back then, and I didn't want to get caught shorthanded. And I believed everything the government was saying, that this is the date, this is when it's going to happen. And, you know, I discovered that it only was a couple of extra documents that you need to take, and those would be the ones that are having to do with the getting a passport. Same stuff. I've always wondered, Mark, and I don't know if this is the case now, if you had a passport, like you say, it can be used as a real ID. But if you brought your passport into the DMV and you say, I have this, which basically were all the documents that you needed to get the passport, which match the real ID, why wouldn't they say, oh, you got the passport, we'll just go ahead and get you the real ID? But no, you got to show up with all those documents again.
Well, what you have to do is you don't listen to that man over in the corner who knows not what he talks about.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. What you basically have to do is you've got to go online. When you go there, you will find, for example, this is from California DMV's website. Real ID checklist. To apply for a real ID, you must present several documents, including one proof of identity document from the list below. One is the key word there. There are 12 options, one of which is a U.S. passport, which is right at the top and in parentheses says preferred. So if you've got a passport, you're in business. Then we drop down to original or certified copy of U.S. birth certificate. A valid permanent resident card, a foreign passport with a valid U.S. visa approved on it, certificate of naturalization or certificate of U.S. citizenship. I'm not going to go through all of these, but basically everybody should have at least one of these, and that's all you need is one. And if you have a passport, then stop worrying because you've got everything that you need. Now you can fill out the application online. And then what's going to happen is you're going to get notified that you need to go to a DMV office in order to present yourself so that they can verify that you are you. So kind of sort of the same procedure that you have to go through for a passport. And people would say, well, why don't we just use passports? Well, I can't answer that question for you. I'm not the guy who thought of this 15, 16, 17, I guess it's 19 years ago now, 20 years ago, 2005 they passed this. But it's going to be a reality, it looks like, on May the 7th. It has been delayed 20 years ago. You can see it's been delayed many, many, many times being implemented. But now it's going to get implemented, and if you go out May the 7th and all you've got is your driver's license, you're not going to be able to get on the airplane. So don't panic. Just if you've got a passport, you're good. You're good to go as long as your passport is valid. But if you don't have a passport, then you're going to need to get one of these real IDs, and you're going to need to go through this process. So really, the simplest way that you can do this that I can suggest to you is just go to your computer, sit down in front of it, type real, space ID and hit enter. And a whole bunch of options are going to pop up in front of you from a whole bunch of different government agencies that are willing to help you. You can click on one of them. If you live in California, you might consider the California DMV site because you're a Californian. If you're not a Californian, there are other sites on there that will take you to where you need to know to be able to get this information. The reason I'm bringing this up now, and we'll probably hit you over the head with it a few times between now and the 1st of April, is because here we all know what's going to happen here. We've got a few months when everything will go quite smoothly and people who get their application in will get it back fairly quickly, most likely, and they'll be ready to travel. As we get closer to the deadline, more and more people who don't listen to shows like this or don't travel a lot will suddenly find out that they have to have this, and it'll be, oh my God, I'm leaving in 10 days. How do I make all of this happen? And because DMV is going to require you to have an appointment, then you may not be able to get this done if you wait too long. So really and truly, if you know you're going to travel later this year, address this situation now. You'll be doing yourself and all the other last-minute people a huge favor.
And there you go. I remember when they first cranked it up 20 years ago, they had satellite locations. Besides just the DMV, they were DMV authorized, but they weren't at a necessarily at a DMV location. So as time moves on, keep your eyes open. Those sites and those places may occur as well, which will be a lot less busy than a DMV office. I ended up at a Staples.
Really?
Yes, a little room in the back of a Staples.
My guess is we're going to see something like that probably come up again. But honest to God, you can save yourself the whole problem. I got a trip to Key West in a week. Then I'm going to go through the whole process right away. So I'll come back and tell you how long it took and what my experience was and all of that. Real ID, it's something that you're going to need by May the 7th if you're a traveler domestically in these United States.
We're going places with Ned's Sports Leisure Flair, a world of adventure.
Hey, listen, coming up from Sports Leisure Vacations, we have a trip to Baja, Mexico to see the gray whales. Close-up encounters. Imagine being able to reach out and touch gray whales in the ocean. We have had a cancellation. We have one seat available. The trip goes on the 22nd of February. You can go to sportsleisure.com and find out more information about it or give our office a call on Tuesday morning since Monday is a holiday. Mexico's Whales, Wine, and Wonders, February the 22nd, one seat available. Give the folks at Sports Leisure Vacations a call or check out the trip at sportsleisure.com.
Thanks for joining us. It's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And as we mentioned earlier, our special guests, you can find a link to them and their websites at TravelGuysRadio.com.
We are joined by Tim Zahner, who is the Executive Director of the Sonoma Valley Visitors Bureau. And we're always talking on this program about, you know, places that are too crowded or going, you know, try to avoid going during peak season. So voila, here we have it for you, folks. The Sonoma Valley has 100 days of winter wellness. And this is their way of trying to get you to come to the Sonoma Valley when there aren't hordes of people and you can still have a good time. Tim, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Well, thank you so much, Mark and Tom. I'm glad to be here. And I want to clarify, we never have hordes. We just have happy, happy crowds in Sonoma Valley. There's no hordes.
Okay. Never a horde in Sonoma Valley. Right. Tim, tell us about this 100 days of wellness. As I read the information on it here, it looks like you have all kinds of activities, specials at spas and things like that that might entice people, things that people don't necessarily have to be outdoors for.
That's absolutely true. You know, it's January when we're recording this, and I know you and I are just shoveling kale down our throats and doing yoga. So we leaned into that new year, new resolution, and raised awareness that Sonoma Valley, you know, an hour north of San Francisco and kind of known as a wellness destination, has more than just food and wine, although that's a crucial part of it. So we've got 100 days of wellness. Some of it involves yoga. Some of it involves kale. But a lot of it just involves soft wellness, you know, like checking in with yourself, checking in with your family and your friends, soft hikes, easy ways to get into making sure that you're healthy, which Sonoma Valley has a long history of.
Tim, do some of the spas have some specials going on for folks during this event?
Absolutely. You know, we have the Fairmont Sonoma Mission Inn and Spa, which is a more than 100-year-old spa resort in an area called The Springs, and that's because there are geothermal springs there. And they have special offers when you can get spa credit when you book some of their packages. There's also the MacArthur Place Hotel and Spa, which is a fabulous, intimate, small hotel in the heart of Sonoma, walkable to the historic plaza. They have some great spa packages there. And then the Lodge at Sonoma, which is a Marriott resort, also has some spa packages. So they're all putting that forward because they want people to understand that, you know, even though wine country is thought of as the harvest destination and the summer destination, it really is a year-round destination. And to your point, you can do things inside at the spa. And, you know, the weather right now, it's 65 degrees, so winter isn't too shabby in its own right for outdoors.
You know, it's amazing all of the different events that you have listed on your website, which once again you can find at travelguysradio.com, something pretty much every day. I see one that catches my attention, and it's over there in Santa Rosa, Snoopy's Home Ice. Chance to do some ice skating. How about you, Tim? Is there two or three events here on this list that are your favorites that you might take on?
Absolutely. So there's one that's called Pushpoc Wellness Tours. Pushpoc has these neat little electric scooters, the kind you sit on. And if you have mobility impairments or you don't want to walk very far or you're with a multi-generational group, this is a fantastic tour. They go around and they see some of the historic stuff. But they've added in a stop at the Sonoma Ashram. So you can kind of learn about meditation and yoga and how Sonoma Valley is kind of a place for that. And I think that's a really neat thing. It combines the technology of these neat little electric scooters with sort of like slowing down and doing some thinking. And part of that, they'll take you to the base of a neat trail that it's called the Sonoma Overlook Trail. And you can come back and visit on your own time and learn about how you can hike up and see all the different plants and animals that are overlooking Sonoma. So that's one of them. Another one we have, the Green Music Center, which is just outside of Sonoma Valley in Runner Park. They have really amazing concerts, and we're trying to push that wellness isn't just the spas and it isn't just the hiking. It's also your emotional connections and your spiritual connections. So they have some fantastic shows that are showing up there at the Green Music Center. And if you haven't been, it's a stunning concert hall. It's like being inside of a violin. The sound is that good. So that's a good one. And then we also have, I like to cook. I don't know if Mark and Tom, if you guys are big chefs and doing stuff, but we have recipes on our website. And the key thing about our recipes is there isn't five paragraphs before you get to the recipe. We just give you the recipe.
Great.
And one of them is let's get to it, right? So a citrus salad from McAvoy Ranch, and it details how to make a really healthy, delicious salad using olive oil that's locally made here in Sonoma Valley.
Awesome. Our guest has been Tim Zahner. Tim is the executive director of the Sonoma Valley Visitors Bureau. The event is called 100 Days of Winter Wellness in Sonoma Valley. As you listen to Tim, you can see there's just about something for everyone there, every age. If you go to travelguysradio.com, you'll find a link that will take you there, and you can head over to Sonoma and avoid those nice people who come in the summertime by going in the winter. Tim, thanks for a little bit of your time today. You have something coming up in the future. Be sure to keep us aware of what's going on.
I absolutely will. Thank you so much for having me on.
You know, Sonoma is one of my favorite parts of the California coast, right over there in Napa. Probably doesn't get the kind of recognition that the Napa Valley does because of all of the wine and popularity, but cool place. I really like this whole idea.
Yeah, what a great way to try to attract. And isn't he's a good salesperson for his community. They've found the right guy because he's very knowledgeable. But it sounds like, gosh, there are things for just about every age group. You could kind of go over there and wander around a little bit. And to his point, you know, you pick a February day when it's 60, 65 degrees, you won't even notice the the wintertime. Are you a wine connoisseur, Mr. Romano?
Oh, yeah. I enjoy the wines. And, Sonoma, of course, and Napa is an excellent place to go. I've been spoiled, though. We have so many good wineries right up the street here in the in Amador County. That will rival those, and they're a lot closer. At one time, wine tasting was still free up in the Amador area and so forth. They were trying to compete. You'd go to Napa, and you'd have to pay for all the sips and all of that. And so people started. But as you might have guessed, that has gone away. Anyway, okay, it's odds and ends time, isn't it?
It's odds and ends time. Yeah, it is.
Which one of us is the odd and which one of us is the end is the question.
I don't know. Did you see the I couldn't find the video anywhere. They've got it apparently pretty well hidden or locked away. This Alaska Airlines flight attendant decided to do a little twerking.
No.
And she made a video out of it and it cost her job.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, I hope she apparently got another job doing some twerking or something.
Well, I don't know. She was a fairly attractive-looking gal, and I didn't see the video of the twerking. So you might say to yourself, "Well, gee, why would you fly her a flight attendant for that?" Well, maybe I'd see the video and perhaps change my mind, but. Anyways, you were telling me something about a Southwest pilot or something?
Yeah, I didn't look it up. I saw it midweek. A Southwest pilot was noticeably drunk. A TSA agent smelled it on him and reported him, and that was it for the day.
Well, that might be more than it for the day. They tend to take a very dim view of stuff like that. Hey, listen, here is we love lists on this program. Here is a list. Top 10 most popular destinations for Americans this year. According, this data comes from Fay Travel Insurance. So they obviously have decided that these are the 10 destinations people are most buying travel insurance for and decided to make this list. So it's probably a little bit arbitrary, but here we go. Italy, France, the UK. Those are all pretty standard. Mexico is fourth. Germany, Spain, the U.S. itself, Greece, the Netherlands, and Canada. So this explains why so many airlines are trying to add international destinations like crazy, is because right now international destinations are incredibly popular. Hey, Tom, you might have noticed that in the horror of that was the L.A. wildfires, There are some buildings that survived, very few. Some people were just lucky. I saw a horrible story about a house that got saved in the fire, and then the hillside came down on top of it today. So, in the good news, bad news department.
Yeah.
But two of the landmarks that have held up really well there have been the two Getty landmarks. They have a Getty Villa, which is out on the coast, which literally – the fire burned within 6 feet of its walls, but did not get the building. And then the Getty Museum, which is kind of over the hills, the Getty Center in Brentwood, which is another area where the fires got very close, but did not get the Getty Center itself. And I don't know about the center because the fires didn't lap at the front door like they did at the Getty Villa. But the reason that this happened was specifically because these buildings have been coated with and have been designed. The newer Getty Center in Brentwood has been designed to be, they called it a marvel of anti-fire engineering because, of course, inside the walls of those buildings are incredibly valuable works of art. There would be no way to save all of them. I mean, you could probably save a few, but there's no way that you could have saved all of them, especially in all of that chaos. But anyway, the two Getty buildings down there are still standing, at least so far. And here's an interesting note. People were inside both of those buildings while the fires were going on.
Amazing.
With a plan B to try to protect some of the pieces of art, and I hope themselves, if the fire got into the building. Yeah, total craziness. Travel from the U.S. to Cuba is not likely to expand in 2025. This is a political thing. When Mr. Trump was president before, his previous stance on U.S.-Cuba relations was not a real strong one. He has picked Marco Rubio to serve as Secretary of State. And Rubio in the past has been very hawkish towards Cuba. So while under the current administration, travel to Cuba was a little easier, it is expected that travel to Cuba will become a little tougher for the next 4 years. So if you are hoping to travel to Cuba, you may still be able to do it, but it may be something that you will have to put off until the political winds are blowing in the right direction. Of course, this has been going on with Cuba for some six plus decades.
One of the things about traveling to Cuba, I recall when we discussed it some years back, was you couldn't just go to Cuba on vacation. You had to be going there for educational purposes and that kind of thing. It had been a mission. And I would imagine that if it opens up again, that will still remain the same. The only part about Cuba that really strikes me as interesting and I'd like to see is all the taxis are old classic cars from the 50s and 60s. And that's cool.
We took a couple groups there. Chris Galloway, a good friend who was a tour director here for me for a number of years. Chris lives in on the other side of the country now, but he took a couple of groups to Cuba a number of years ago, and there were a number of restrictions on where they could go, and you had to have a planned itinerary and Cuban guides with you the whole time and all of that kind of jazz. But folks came back and generally said very positive things, not as much about the country. The people are living very close to the poverty limit there, but about the people in Cuba. They came back and said the people were incredibly friendly and made you wish that you could, you know, the kind of people that you wish you could have a beer with them and sit down and talk about their lives for a couple of hours. But anyways, Cuba, if you are a fan of Cuba travel, you may or may not have to wait a little bit longer. Here is something I found kind of interesting, and you would say, why would this be a travel story? We just got about a minute to go here. Lawmakers are trying to lower the legal alcohol limit for drivers in Washington State. We have several states in the country where it's below the 0.1% limit that it is in California, and they have found that it causes accidents to go down, which causes insurance rates to go down. Washington State is trying to move it to 0.05, which basically means if you're a small person, two drinks in an hour will put you over that limit, and if you're a larger person, three drinks in an hour will put you over that limit. And I don't know about you, but I'm not crazy about having lots of folks who are inebriated on the road when I'm out there. So I'm kind of sort of in favor of this lower limit. The lower limit comes with not as steep of a fine if you get caught.
Understood. Well, I'm with you. I'm not for changing any of the limits. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for joining us. Remember, as always, links to our special guests can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. Last week, we talked about responsible travel. Today, we're going to talk about Tourism Cares with CEO Greg Takahara. Greg, tell us a little bit about you and about Tourism Cares.
Well, great. Well, thank you, Mark. Thank you, Tom. It's really a pleasure to be here on this call with the Sacramento audience. We once had an event out in Sacramento, so it's a place we think about quite fondly.
Greg, I remember when an old NTA president, Bruce Beckham, came into a boardroom meeting one day, and he said, I want to tell you about this new thing called Tourism Cares. Kind of come up out of the blue. He explained to us how this was going to be the conduit, this kind of a central clearinghouse for tourism projects and for recognizing places where tourism could make a positive impact on people along the way. And now, of course, we're constantly seeing stories of, you know, of over tourism, you know, people shooting water guns at tourists in Barcelona and people in Venice paying money to get into the city at different times. And they're telling us that Rome this summer is going to be a disaster. So, Greg, explain to us how Tourism Cares fits into all of this, fits into the tourism world. And why should someone who is just an average person out traveling, why should this be something that should be on their radar?
We used to be an organization that really kind of came to the rescue when there were natural disasters, when destinations really needed, as you mentioned, a conduit, somebody to say, an organization to get the word out sometimes that they were back on their feet and that they were ready for tourists again. You know, now with the advent of social media, everybody has the tools to be able to get the word out themselves. They are also able to get, you know, crowdsourcing campaigns together very quickly to be able to draw attention to, for instance, the LA wildfires and get money to the people who need support and help. But back 10, 20 years ago, we didn't have those means, and Tourism Cares fulfilled that role as the conduit. People are obviously, as you mentioned, are very aware that, you know, places like Amsterdam and Rome are becoming very crowded during peak seasons. And there's also a little bit of a rebellion amongst the locals who don't want to have the tourists, whereas in times past, it was always opening their arms to tourism. So, you know, we're dealing with a different world and different challenges, and Tourism Cares is there for the industry to really help support the people in places of travel. And with regards to consumers, really help them to get a better understanding of that aspect of responsible and meaningful travel.
We're talking with Greg Takahara. Greg is the CEO of Tourism Cares. Greg, give me our audience an idea of a couple of projects that Tourism Cares is involved in now for the greater good.
Well, a lot of our work is working with destinations on what we call our meaningful travel map. And we've started working with all sorts of destinations around the world, domestically, as well as abroad, to help them build out their meaningful travel maps. That is the primary vehicle that we're really trying to use to drive impact to local communities throughout the world and show the force for good that tourism can be.
Greg, if folks want to be a little bit more involved, if they'd like to know more about Tourism Cares, you have a website. We'll link. If you go to travelguysradio.com, you can find the Tourism Cares link and go there. How can people become involved, Greg?
Well, I think you just pointed out the first thing. Go to our website, kind of explore, see what resonates for you. In particular, sign up for our newsletter, because our newsletter really provides a lot of best practice, a lot of best practices, storytelling from a number of different communities that we're working in.
Once again, Greg Takahara, CEO with Tourism Cares. Great stuff, Greg. We once again, you can go to the travelguysradio.com link to his website and all that's there and how you can participate.
Thank you, Greg, for joining us today. Appreciate all of the information. Keep up the good work, and we'll check in again with you down the road.
Great. Well, thank you for having me.
So, an introduction to Tourism Cares, which really is something I'm kind of proud of as someone who's in the tourism industry. They have been able to make a difference in a lot of places, and they have a lot of projects, you know, clean them up things and environmental things and tips for folks to make you a smarter traveler, not only in your wallet, but also for the environment when you're out there on the road. So Tourism Cares is something that I hope will develop into something really big as we get down the road.
Next week here on the Travel Guys, it's 100 Hotels of a Lifetime, a great book from National Geographic, penned by Annie Fitzsimmons. You're going to really enjoy this interview. You want to run out and get the book, I guarantee it, Mark. But it's a wrap.
Yeah, it is. It is. That's a really great book, by the way. You're going to really enjoy. We're going to talk to Annie next week. So I am off to Key West. I'll have a report on Miami and the Florida Keys and all the debauchery and all of the things that go on in Key West when we get back on the air next Saturday. I'm Mark Hoffman. Remember, dance like nobody's watching.
Stay well, my friends. Bye for now.